At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Zaxby's just out-Philly'd the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
This is Demoria Douglas, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier, and this podcast is, of course, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Make sure and go over to Underdog and sign up using promo code ROSTER for a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000 right now. And if you've been following along over on Roster Watch and using our player prop cheat sheet that's been available to you every week of the season, you can you've been making some money, right? We're at 61 or 62% right now, Cody, on the whole season. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of different player props that we've put up from over on Underdog. And yeah, man, make sure and go check those out. You can get a pro membership at rosterwatch.com and get all of those and go put them together and put together your Underdog entries. And make sure when you sign up for Underdog, now that fantasy football is over, it's fun to go play in the pick'em contests. Use that promo code ROSTER for a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All right, Cody. So the fantasy season's over, except for this stuff. We have postseason contests and all the degenerate stuff that we always do, right? But it's rookie season, and it's kind of early dynasty rookie prospecting season, and so we're getting busy with all of it. Of course, you'll be at the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl. You'll be at the Shrine Bowl with Trash Man. You and I will cover the Senior Bowl. You and I are going to go back to Indy for our 14th Roster Watch's 14th annual trip to the Combine, if you don't count the year that we've had to miss because of the whole COVID scare, where they didn't let us into the facility there. But yeah, it'll be our 14th year doing all this, and thanks so much to all our pro members at Roster Watch that allow this to be possible. But in preparation, and of course for our pro members, we're putting up the rookie spotlights over there and trying to kind of get ready for these players that we're going to see at the Senior Bowl. And I think the guys we're talking about today are all senior. Any Shrine Bowlers in this group, Cody?
These are all Senior Bowlers this time around.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about I don't know. Who did you put on? Like, who are we talking about?
We got Savion Williams from TCU, Jalen Royals from Utah State, and Pat Bryant from Illinois.
Do you want to start with Pat Bryant since I just got done watching him?
Yeah, I'll start with Pat Bryant. So Pat Bryant, obviously from Illinois. Not obviously, actually. It's not obviously. He's from Illinois. 6'3", 200 pounds. He turns 23 years old at the end of this coming year. So he's 22 right now, just turned 22. I finished with a third-round draft grade on Pat Bryant, which is a little higher, I think.
Third?
Which is a little higher, I think, than I expected. Actually, no, I wrote down third on the sheet. I don't know why. It's actually a fourth-round grade. Okay, so that makes a lot more sense in my head. I was like, I don't remember putting that. Fourth-round grade on Pat Bryant, the wide receiver from Illinois, 6'3", 200 pounds. He had 25% of the team's receptions this year, 36% of the yards, and 45% of the touchdowns. He did, I think, take over this receiving room, playing with Zachariah I think it's Zachary, or it's not Zachariah, but Zachary Franklin, who's a transfer in from Ole Miss, is a very good, solid receiver. His brother played at USF. Brendan Harris was his name. He was a team captain this year, first team All Big Ten, second team All American for Phil Steele's grading there. And he comes from Jacksonville, Florida, so he's a Florida boy. For those that are interested in that sort of thing, I think he's an intentional route runner with great tempo. I think he's a guy that can create after the catch. I don't think he's elite at it, but I think he can do it. I do kind of sit in a weird spot where I believe he can be a pretty solid number two for most teams. I came away with like a Josh Reynolds, Cedric Wilson comp. I see you have some interesting ones as well added in here. I think he's about a guy that's going to run that the low 4.5s. I think he did enough at Illinois this year to kind of prove that he's worth it. And you see it now with him going down to the Senior Bowl. He did set the single season record for touchdown receptions at Illinois. I know a year ago we were talking about Isaiah Williams. Isaiah Williams was a de facto quarterback, really, coming out of high school, played quarterback at Illinois to begin with. And then he actually, I think, set the team record for, I think it was like receiving yards or receiving. I can't remember what the stat was, but Isaiah Williams was a guy that was at the Shrine Bowl last year, right? Ended up being like, a UDFA that, I don't remember, he's in Cincinnati or something like this, right? But he didn't really kind of end up doing anything. Pat Bryant, I think, is the opposite. Pat Bryant is a guy that can really get the job done, I think, as a number two in the NFL. I don't see him as a high-end outputter for fantasy football, not probably a guy that I'm going to go out on a limb and try to draft in the first three, probably not the first four rounds.
He won't go in the first four rounds.
What's that?
He won't go in the first four rounds of just 12-team traditional rookie. Yeah. Certainly not super flex, but
yeah, no, certainly
it'll take one of these Senior Bowls where you come out saying this guy actually turned out to be the standout. You know what I mean? Yeah. And whenever he gets a quarterback that's better than what Luke Altmaier, this guy stinks, Cody. You're talking about him in the write-up like he's a 2026 prospect. Like,
I said that I've heard people talking about him like he is one. I don't believe he is. I don't think he's any good.
Whenever you watch him, it's hard versus I had access to the all 22 versus Michigan versus Rutgers. And I forget what's the other one? Do you know?
The main one that they had that was split up, that was a cut up for him, was Michigan. But the rest were just straight up all 22s.
Okay. So yeah, all right. So it's a tale of two different dudes with the Michigan game and with the Rutgers game at least. Just and I'm sure that the stat lines show it. I haven't looked at his exact stats from those games, but versus Michigan, he was lined up on number two a whole lot. Will Johnson, who's going to be probably a top 10 pick at corner in this year's NFL draft. And he was giving a lot of attention to Pat Bryant. Do you think he weighs 200 pounds? Or do you think he might be like 205? Or do you think he might be lighter? Because you have the Cedric Wilson kind of these skinny guy comps.
Yeah, I think he's in the 200-pound range.
Okay.
I saw your Juwan Jennings thing and Brendan Rice, and those guys are like 210, 215. Like, I think Jennings is even heavier than that. I don't think he's going to be a heavier. I think he's pretty light in the bottom half.
Yeah, but the anvil, the anvil upper body, right? The kind of the V-shaped upper body. Like, really, I think he's a good looking player, man. He looks stout to me, not super fast. He gets caught from behind fairly often, but as Cody says, you know, good generating after the catch. You see him on these little, you see him utilized on all these little kind of comeback routes and hitch routes and stuff like that. And you're constantly really surprised at the way that he's able to just kind of T-step and get out of that thing and get upfield, right? He's very elusive right there. At the top of his route stem. The thing about him, though, is, you know, talking about the quarterback, Luke Altmaier, whenever it's like it's understandable versus Michigan. That offensive line there is not very good. And you have these just monsters like, Mason Graham. Is that 55?
Yep.
And then 78's Kenneth Grant.
Yep.
Like you have these dudes just coming and zero. I forget his name, the edge dude for Michigan. Like, but these dudes just coming after him, raining, you know, wreaking havoc on him. And you're like, well, okay, I can understand why in this game he's not going to be quite as involved. But I don't know, Cody. I'd be interested to hear what you think. One of the things that I added in as I was editing your write-up is that he had his least productive games against the best competition. So against Oregon, he went 3 for 26 and 0 versus Michigan. He was 4 for 32 and 0. Penn State 3 for 37 and 0. And then you see like versus Rutgers. I don't know his exact stats in that game. I bet you he had 150 yards though. Like he had a couple of big ones there, and they left meat on the bone there in that game because Altmyer had him wide open twice and missed him. And those were on plays where he was getting great protection. Like he got this dude, like this dude got wide open. That could have been a 250-yard, just super mega throbber of a football game. So there was some meat left on the bone, but there's also the fact to consider. Cody mentioned he was the all-time leading touchdown scorer as far as receiving touchdowns. 40% of those 10, so 4 of those 10 touchdowns came against Eastern Illinois and Central Michigan. So I'm not saying I think he plays. I'm not saying that he was bad in the face of good competition, because I kind of liked his stem work and stuff right off the line of scrimmage versus a Will Johnson. I think there were times that he got open on him, but it was just really hard for them to deliver. I think it was more of the function of the offense, just not really being able to operate with Altmyer under such pressure, especially with that guy. When you watch him, he's a pretty nifty little runner. And when he gets the opportunity to run, man, he gets off his reads and he just takes off. So not sure how to square those two things. It's like, is it a function of the offense not being able to really sustain in these types of spots, or is it because the guy shrinks in these spots? I don't think that's it, because I think he's a good player, and I think he's got some dog to him. You mentioned it in your write up that you think that maybe as far as a run blocker, you might be able to get a little more effort out of him. But you can tell, man, he gets good leverage. He gets in those spots to where he's able to help his running backs downfield, and he's in those spots a lot, especially whenever the quarterback has to tuck the ball and run. He's always having to either, you know, play the stuff where he comes back and has to get open, or the stuff where he's just having to kind of turn and block for the guy. And so you can kind of see he has that ability. But whenever I looked at him, man, I didn't see anything. He looks like a good polished. He, for some reason, watching him just reminded me of Brendan Rice from last year, where he was a guy who at some times he could kind of be a slower sort of clear out kind of guy, like not a traditional kind of clear out dude, but somehow he would be able to stack these guys and do it. But then just a whole lot of just digs, a lot of hitches and comeback routes, intermediate level stuff where Brendan Rice, you know, the kind of stuff that we really liked out of him. He hasn't panned out, but that was sort of my comp. I also kind of had a throwback to 2012. From the body style, reminded me a lot of Nick Toon. So that's kind of where I am on him. I'd be interested to hear, you know, why you had the comps to Cedric Wilson, or any stuff that you had as far as, I think you went down some of your pros on the ledger, but what about some of the things that you didn't like?
Yeah, the comps, like I said before, kind of deteriorate just strictly from what I see on the field and body types and play styles. And I think that the Josh Reynolds and the Cedric Wilsons are body types that I see similar to Pat Bryant. Now, if I get down there to Mobile and he's obviously a little bit thicker, we're going to get up and talk to these guys and we'll see him up close. And if he's got a bigger lower half than what I'm accustomed to seeing on tape, then obviously I'll make that adjustment. I think that that's kind of where yours look. To me, the difference is like Brendan Rice, Toon, and Juwan Jennings all are thicker throughout the base. I think he's fine. His least productive games came against those big games, but those big games also weren't exactly like blowouts. When you do look at the stat line, like he was incredibly good against those poor teams, but like you said, he had almost 200 yards against Rutgers. Rutgers was a respectable football team. Michigan State, he had 135 yards. Even the games that maybe weren't, you know, mega throbbers like Minnesota. Minnesota's a respectable football team. He had 5 for 70 and a touchdown. I think he still performed despite not, you know, being pro. I don't expect this kid to be, you know, a superstar. This class overall, to the point that I've gotten through, which is about a third of the class overall, is vastly underwhelming. And looking at this kid like a late third, early fourth round pick, and what he gives you, I thought his route running was maybe the best trait from his overall grading. I think he was fine in separation. I was a little underwhelmed at times by his hands. I think in the blocking game, I brought it up that I think you're going to get effort out of him, but it's not going to be ideal output. Like, it's not going to always come to fruition. I don't think he's the best, but I do think, like you said, he's going to bring effort to the situation. I do think he struggles to separate in the middle quadrants of the field, but he does accelerate. He does excel when he is targeted. I don't know. I think, like you said, trying to figure out how you view this kid is just realizing to me the lack of depth of this class and saying that I just think he's going to be fine. Like, you think about, you brought up Brendan Rice, but I think of like Michael Wilson from 2 years ago.
Michael Wilson stuff came up in my mind too. It's just that I thought Michael Wilson was just a heavier,
heavier. I think he's better at the contested catch point. I think he's a little better route run. I think he's overall got a little bit more talent than this kid does. But I think this kid's fine. But I think that's the thing though. Is like, I think Wilson was like the 94th overall pick, like a third. I think that was like late third round pick, if I remember right. So I think he'll be fine.
We're not over the moon for this guy.
No, I think he got better with the drops and stuff this past year, but it's at Illinois. He didn't have a good quarterback. He did have a fine opposing receiver. I wrote him up. If you want to go read that, we're not going to do a big, you know, show for him. But Zachary Franklin from Illinois, he was a 6 foot 190 pound receiver that came from Ole Miss, and he was fine. Played the opposite side of Pat Bryant. But again, the quarterback play was underwhelming. Illinois won 10 games this year. Pat Bryant was kind of a big reason why. He nearly crested 1,000 yards receiving. He's going to be a good pro, like the names we listed. Reynolds said Wilson was important to the Saints this year. Brendan Rice, we still believe, is going to have a role in the NFL, just like this kid can.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Yep. All right, so let's move on to the next one. Let's talk about Savion Williams, because I think this is an interesting one. Trash Man did this write-up. Of course, I edited it. And whenever it starts out, whenever you have comps, like LaVisca Chenault,
this is
and Cordero Patterson, it's like you start to, you know, you're like, man, Quentin Johnston, you start to kind of say, okay, like little bit of a blinking yellow light there to maybe let's slow our roll on this guy. Let's, you know, we've been down this road before with this type of player. Savion Williams from TCU. He is listed currently at between 6'3" and 6'4", depending on where you look, you know, somewhere in that 225 pound to 230 pound range. And he's shot out of a cannon. He is fast. He's a freakish athlete that can squat 600 pounds, who runs who could maybe run sub 4.4. 20% of his team's receptions this last year, 16% of the receiving yards, 24% of the receiving touchdowns. So barely, just like technically right on the edge of breaking out. I mean, I think he was at 19.99% of the total defensive productivity. You have to round that up to 20 to be able to get to finally a breakout. But he also does, he also plays running back. He plays wildcat quarterback. He gave a bunch of productivity to TCU doing both of those things this year. And to me, when I just watch at him, or when I watch him, he is just an incredible physical specimen. It doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take much to just look at the guy and say, okay, well, that guy's one of the most awesome looking football players, certainly on the field that he's playing on right now, and maybe on many of the fields that you'll be watching, you know, these guys play on. He's got really good feet. I noticed the Trash Man. I can't believe the Trash Man talked about his release package, but it actually, he has a really good release package. Clearly gets a lot of he works with one of these wide receiver trainers, and I think that you see it more from, you know, I think back to the 2023 game versus Texas, where you looked at me like, gosh, he's so raw, but like, you know, Texas fans were like, man, we need to get this guy in the transfer portal to come to Texas. Mm-hmm. But you saw like a little bit of the rawness with him. Whereas this year you watch back, like he's really got some things going with his releases and with his footwork right there at the line of scrimmage, just very explosive. He's a guy that makes big plays in big games, definite playmaker. But I guess I kind of agree with Trash Man that right now you have to say that he's a better athlete than he's a wide receiver currently. And so there's a little bit of projection to bake in, but dude, Cody, they don't make them like this, dude. They don't make them 6'3 to 6'4, 225 to 230, as fat. It's like, we didn't say this is a comp, but there's some like DK Metcalf kind of type of upside here that could be with this guy. Like he's going to, I think he's going to blow up the combine, man. And I think he's going to go in the second round of dynasty rookie drafts because of it. And I just think he's somebody we're gonna have to figure out, because he's this guy's gonna be in this class, as you've talked about, not the best wide receiver class. This is gonna be a guy that after the very top echelon of dudes, after you get done with the, you know, after the Hunters and the Ted McMillans and maybe the Luther Burdens and stuff, people are gonna say like, well, who's next? Could it be Savion? It's like, what's your read on it?
So I want to ask you this question right off the rip. In that, when I turn the tape on for this kid, and I remember vividly, obviously, watching him last year for TCU and thinking about exactly what you just said, and will he enter the portal? Could that become an option for like a Texas who needed receivers last year and gained three of them? And we're going to talk about all three of them over the course of the next couple of weeks or month. But when I turned it on, like within three plays, I texted you and I said, well, this just threw a wrench in all of this whole class, because – the class is, well, it's loaded at running back. It's like the depth, the top end, everything. You look at a running back class, and if you want to compare back to that Fournette McCaffrey class, like that's an A+. This class is as close to an A or a B++ as you're going to get. And this kid, to me, I kind of would rather see him play running back. And when you look at like a height weight thing, you bring up the Cordarrelle Patterson comp, which obviously makes sense because of the pure weapon ability. What about, and Alex, because when I went through and I did my grade on him, and I'm ticking off numbers and plugging stuff in here, right? I'm like, well, a lot of these receiving things I'm not really looking for with this kid. Like I know what he can't do, and I know what he can do basically from watching him. And I'm seeing some more running back traits that I want to pay attention to than I am of a majority of kind of receiving traits, I guess. And that just made me think of like, I know this is going to be outrageous. So off the top, it's outrageous, right? Because Derrick Henry was 6'2 5/8", 247 at the combine. 6'2 5/8", 247 at the combine. The official numbers that we got from Jim Nagy, he posted them on Twitter this last summer from the officials that he got down there from, because Savion was on the freaks list, and 6036, so 6'3.5", 228.
Oh, closer to 6'4". 6'4" and 3/4". Or 6'3" and 3/4".
6'3" and 3/4". And a 40-inch vertical, 600-pound squat. I'm kind of looking at this guy like a 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4'4", 4
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, right, he had 12% drop rate this last year. I thought when I looked at him, I thought he had great vision for a receiver, kind of a running back, great elusiveness. He's got a sick spin move, and he just seems to always find the hole when they do have him lined up in Wildcat, in jet motion, as a running back, whatever he's doing. And I just wonder if that's kind of the angle that eventually takes place here. I don't really care for him a ton at receiver. I think he's fine. I don't think he's a great route runner. I think he's a respectable route runner. But I look at this kid, I see running back.
Well, I mean, it's because he's electric with the ball in his hands, right? And I understand that. And also, man, like, I think you can point to the fact that, you know, Trashman had it where it's like over his career, he's been a 70% contested catch guy. But that's another thing he got better at this year, 85.7% this last year. So it's like there were the bad drops, right? I mean, but there've also been acrobatic catches. It's like he's shown me enough stuff to where it's like, I think he can be. I can't pigeonhole him as just saying I think he needs to play running back.
Well, I wouldn't pigeonhole him. Yeah, I definitely think that that's one of his. So the best three traits that I wrote down for him was vision, ball contested catches, and yak.
Yeah, and just speed, like just size, speed. Right, but I guess that goes into yak.
That's not like one of my grade things. That's like a testing thing, but like. As far as like his abilities, and like I guess if I say he's a running back, like then the contested catch thing almost doesn't matter because it doesn't happen. You see him continually catch these balls, you know, down in the end zone or like these deep balls, and he goes up and it's like he's mossing dudes and looks like Mike Evans. It's like, all right, but then I see the backfield stuff, and then you see the athlete, and then you see him breaking tackles and throwing spin moves. It's like he's just an overall stud of a football player. I'm just not sure exactly where that fits in the grand scheme of the sport at the position. Like, we've seen the Patriots tried to make Cordero work. The Falcons are probably the most successful.
Falcons have been, Arthur Smith. It was his bizarro Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Which is probably the best role you could possibly look at for a Savion. We're like, I think you can, he has to play some running back, but also I think what we're talking about here is he also has to play some receiver, which is just like I said, when I texted you, to me, it just throws a massive wrench. I texted you. I said, I think he's better than Cordero. I think he's better than Treylon Burks. Remember, Treylon Burks had double digit carries each of his two seasons there, expected to be a 4.4 guy. I think he ran like 4.50. I think he's more elusive than a Terrell Pryor that came out of Ohio State. I think he's more elusive than Metcalf. You talk about an athlete pound for pound.
He's going to get a three cone.
I think he's definitely going to do that. I think he's got the vision of a running back. And I think, like I said, the contested skills of like a Demaryius Thomas. That's kind of like what I thought of when I saw him in this.
It sounds to me like you're describing like the awesomest player I've ever heard.
That's what I'm saying. That's the problem here.
Yeah.
Like it's just the biggest monkey wrench in the middle of the whole thing. You're like, well, what? You come away with like a second round grade on the guy, like borderline first round grade, but you're like,
yeah,
but I mean, what
awesome is he? Football player. It's like it, but it's, so I think that, man, I'll say these two things. One, it's probably the most important live wide receiver eval that we're going to have at the Senior Bowl. I would say there's going to be stuff that's important that we kind of take away or guys that surprise us or whatever, but just going in, saying like, man, I got a bunch of questions about this guy that I need answered, right? Like coming in, like a lot of these dudes, we'll get down there to Mobile and we'll figure out what the questions that we need answered are like on the first day of practices, and we'll be able to drill in through the week. We're going to go in saying like, man, I got a lot of stuff I need to watch on Savion. The other thing that I know for sure is that people are going to fall in love with him. It's just going to happen. This is the kind of class where it's going to happen. People are going to fall. Like we're going to have Matt Kelly on, like we're going to have him wherever he's going to comp to this, on their system to a bunch of crazy, awesome guys. And he's going to say, how can you not like a big, fast dude who gets the ball in his hands? Any cost? Like it's just going to happen in this draft class because there aren't as many there aren't as many players that you can glob onto to say, you know, this guy, you know, let's focus on these dudes and like leave these guys for the day three fodder. It's just like, he's going to be a day two pick and we're going to have to get it right as always. Do you want to talk about Royals?
Royals is Jalen Royals is
a wide receiver from Utah State. Let's talk about his height, weight, and stuff.
I will. I just wanted to preface it with saying that he's through watching him became one of my favorite, like his build. I'll talk about him here. I'll break it down, but his build made me fall more in love as the more I watched. So Jalen Royals, a 6 foot tall, 205 pounds, coming from Utah State, broke out as a freshman, a redshirt freshman at Utah State. Prior to Utah State, he did play 1 year at Georgia Military Junior College because he had zero offers. He was a zero star prospect coming out of high school in Powder Springs, Georgia. This past year, he had 19% of the team's receptions, 26% of the team's
yards. How does that guy get out of Powder Springs, Georgia with no offers?
He was a little puny guy. He wasn't this 205-pound guy. He was like 180-pound little puny guy. 21% of the team's touchdowns. And you might say, well, if you love him so much and he's so prolific, why are the numbers so short? The numbers are so short because he didn't play a full season. And this past year,
was it seven games?
At Utah State, he played seven games. Yeah. But here's the thing, Alex. Those last three games he played to finish his career came against Boise State, who won the Mountain West, UNLV, who lost the Mountain West, and New Mexico, who sucks. In those three games, he went 211, two touchdowns, 155, a touchdown, and 188 in a touchdown. This kid finished his career with three consecutive 150-yard games. And maybe my favorite thing about him is – this thing I call the archetype, which is his build, the 5'11", 6 foot, between 195 and 205 pounds. He's right there. And it's the, you know, for the positive side people, it's the Chase, it's the OBJ, it's the DJ Moore, the Diggs, Neighbors, JSN, that whole build. And on the negative side, it's the Anthony Miller. It's the Valus Jones. It's some of these guys, right? And we've seen both of these things hit. Obviously, negatively, and Sky Moore is also on that list, and positively. And year after year after year, and I think you added Jaden Reed into the comp list as well. The one that I kind of came away with directly, which gave me some PTSD to a certain extent, was Anthony Miller coming out of Memphis. Anthony Miller had 10-inch hands. Anthony Miller was rather prolific coming out. I was a massive fan when he went to Chicago, and it just like, boom, laid an egg. I don't think this kid lays an egg. He had an elite 3.00 yards per out run his final season in college. I think he's got great hands in all areas on the field. He's not a yak king like another archetype build player from last year, Malachi Corley, who kind of could box himself into a direction of just kind of like the Savion thing to a certain extent, like just an overall athlete that you want to get the ball in their hand. I think this kid's quite a bit – not quite a bit, but – a vastly better route runner than is Malachi Corley. I think he shows great tempo and change of direction. His quarterback play was worse than even Illinois with Luke Altmyer. Spencer Petras was the quarterback for Iowa the last couple of years, transferred to Utah State, and didn't really give Jalen Royals many favors. He got the ball to him in certain spots, but he didn't also give him many favors. His contested catch ability plummeted, though, in 2024, which, again, can somewhat be given to that quarterback play and can somewhat be given to just his lack in height, length, and overall catch radius. It dropped from 74% down to 38%. And again, like I said before, he only played seven games this year. He's only got 20 career games at the Division I level, and that's at Utah State. So not a lot of high-profile games for Jalen Royals in his time at Utah State.
You also you mentioned the ADOT, how it dropped, right? It's good down. The ADOT was down to 10 this last year. And I think probably – and my Jaden Reed comp, honestly, dude, it – that was just me watching. I forget which games it was. I think I watched Boise, and I'd have to look back in the file to see which ones do we have the all 22s on. But I watched three of them, and so I think that lower ADOT had to do with the way that they use him in that same way that we, not necessarily that they use him in Green Bay, but the way they did it at Michigan State, where it was just like so much stuff right there at the line of scrimmage. Just turn around, get the ball to number one, and then or is he number one? I think he's number one. Get the ball to one, and then just let him go run with it, right? Just let him go. But then you get the ones where, like back at Michigan State, where they say like that's why we call him Bird, right? Is because he gets behind the DBs and he can fly. And I don't know what you thought about his projected 40 time. I don't remember off the top of my head. I thought he would be somewhere in the lowish 4.4s. I do think it's one of these guys where the flying 20 is going to be better than his 10 yard split, right? The final 20. It's like once he gets going and stuff, it's like he's one of these dudes that as he picks up steam, he really picks up steam. Not so much as one of these guys that's just 0 to 60 in the first 10 yards. He's for a guy that, like you said, not necessarily long levered, but he picks up steam in the way that you would generally consider from a long strider. And that just like in that very similar body type, it just reminds me a ton of, you know, Jaden Reed, Michigan State. I don't know what his, do you know what his splits were in the slot off the top of your head? Do you remember that at all?
I don't off the top of my head.
You saw him out of the slot sometime, but I'll look more into that. I think he could be one of these guys. It's like an outside dude kind of that you can, you know, you play in the slot to take the top off slot at the NFL level.
He played 8% of the slot in 2023 and 22% in 2024.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. Like it's. I love the Jaden Reed comp on him. I think he's a good comp. Of course I do because I came up with it. All right, so Cody, tell me this. Rank these three players from least to best as far as your grades.
As far as least to best, that's pretty straightforward for me. It's going to start with Pat Bryant. Pat Bryant, at the time, currently classifies for me as a fourth round pick. I think he's going to be a good number two on the majority of NFL teams. I think a number three probably be the best role for him, though. Someone that's kind of like a replacement flanker. Number two and number one, Savion and Jalen Royals in NFL draft grades came out literally 0.01 points apart from each other, both as second-round prospects. I think I would lean towards Royals as my top receiver of these two guys. But from a fantasy football perspective, I currently give the edge to Savion Williams because of the athlete factor. Now, in a couple of weeks when we get down to the Senior Bowl, all of that can change. But for right now, Jalen Royals is my favorite among these three.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.